Hello, everyone. I'm Lynn Joffe, and welcome to another episode of the Stakeholders Podcast from Solid Gold Podcasts. In this episode, I'm going to speak to a very special guest, Kutso Swafo, who has written a charming children's storybook, Palisa, Flower of the Forest. Welcome, Kutso.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's lovely to have you here, and you've just read your story into a microphone for the very first time.
For the very first time.
How did it feel?
I was nervous at first, but I've read so many other stories, just that this is my first time reading my own story.
And it's your own story. So give us a little story of how did you think of this particular story, what inspired you, and a little bit of your journey to publication.
All right. It's going to sound cliche because I think all authors say this. The story came to me.
It's true, though. And the story came to you in a dream.
No, it wasn't. I was traveling with my daughter to the Free State, and something that I have been doing with her, and she still insists that I do that with her. She'd be like, tell me a story. So we're traveling and we talked, we ate, we did everything on the road up until we got to a point where she's like tired and she didn't want to do any other things that we were doing in the car. And then she said, tell me a story. And I was like, whew, okay. I've told her so many stories, which I plan to publish, by the way.
Oh, you must.
I told her so many stories, but now at this point, if you travel to the Free State, you will notice that the road is very flat and both sides is just grass. There isn't anything really. It's really very flat. Mm. And then I looked out and I was like, oh my goodness, how can I create a story? But like I said, the story came to me. Then I was like, once upon a time, there was a girl called Mabatu. So the name Mabatu came to me. Like, there was a girl called Mabatu. And then she's very inquisitive. So whenever I say a line, she will ask me, what does Mabatu say? I'm like, no, mother of the nation, you know? And then from that nation, that's when now the forest came. Then I'd be like, okay, I need to tell a story about the nation and the forest. And I also, at the moment, needed to teach her to connect with nature and understand the ecosystem and how everything is just interconnected. You know, we are in one with everything that we live with. We breathe, the birds breathe, the flowers breathe. You know, we depend on the sun, we depend on the wind, we depend on the rain and all of that. So that's where the story came to me, because I needed to teach her, I needed to entertain her, and that's how it came to be. So now, as we're going through the process of publishing the book, I was like, why am I using Mabatu as a name when I have my own flower? And we're talking about the forest here. And Palisa is flower. It's just that Palisa is Sesotho.
Oh, you mean that? So Palisa is the flower in your mother tongue language.
Exactly, in Sesotho. Okay, so beautiful. So Palisa, if you hear somebody say Palisa, it means flower. So Palisa, that's why then the title moved from what it was, I can't remember even what it was, to Palisa, the flower of the forest. So she is the flower of the forest.
So is the flower of the forest, in a kind of way, your daughter?
Yes.
And did she pick that up? Does she kind of assume the persona of Palisa?
Like I said, I tell her so many stories. So when I told her that, I'm going to be publishing a book, she was interested. So which one? When I told her this one, she was like, okay, because there's one that she loves that she always laughs at when I tell her. So she was interested in me publishing that one compared to this one. So this one, I'm like, no, I'm going with this one, because for me, this one was more of a dedication to her and my entry into the writing or publishing author space. I wanted to enter using her and making a full dedication to her. Whereas that other one is just a banter that it's between me and her, you know, about her silliness and stuff.
So having said that, you created this book for your daughter or in honor of your daughter, you have so many other stories, you say, as well. Are you planning to go forward with those?
Yes. And yes, I am. And a lot of people are like, is it going to be a sequel? Is it going to be? I don't know what it's going to be, but I do know that I want those stories to go out there. Also, in honor of her, because these stories came to me as bedtime stories for her. So every time we go to sleep, she'd be like, tell me a story. And I needed to be creative from a very young age and be like, okay, there was this girl, blah, 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 blah. So this time around, I had the pressure of just being a perfectionist, you know, making it all right. And especially because I'm self-publishing. So it's like you have the pressure all onto yourself. But I think with the other books that came, it's just for me to put it out there so that they're just out there for the kids to enjoy. I don't think I would have so much pressure. Okay, maybe a pressure for it to be perfect in terms of layout. But I really do just want to put it out there. Just make a collection of all the stories that came to me for her. And the nice thing is that whenever the story came to me, there have been so many stories that came to me, but the ones that stayed were the ones that I was able to write. So they are there somewhere.
Exactly. It helps to be able to write.
Yeah, so I wrote them. They just need to go through the process of editing and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, all in due time.
So congratulations on self-publishing. It's a very lonely journey. But tell our listeners why it was that you chose self-publishing and how that has been.
I chose self-publishing so that I understand the business. I wanted to understand the business because I don't want to sit in rooms where people are talking the language I don't understand. And the self-publishing, you give yourself pressure, not the other person. So when they're talking a language that you don't understand, from the editors to the printers to the illustrators, you are able to pause, take it all in, go make your own research and come back. So I needed to understand the language. So going forward, should it happen that I use a publishing house, I don't have a problem. But at least I know that when I get into those rooms speaking to them, I will know their language. So throughout this journey, there were a lot of terms that I did not understand and I had to learn. And that on its own was growth for me.
Well, congratulations on self-publishing because it's a very lonely road. I've actually traveled that road and I've done traditional as well as self-publishing. Although I do believe that any author who has published traditionally or themselves needs to actually market their book forever. So how's it going with you? Do you have qualifications for this? Have you started companies for this? And how's it going?
All right. So I have a background in communication because I'm an honors graduate, communication honors graduate. So that background and that knowledge in marketing just comes naturally for me. And then also another thing is that I used my social media platforms to make sure that I market the book. And how I got my people is that I have a nonprofit company called Parks and Read. So what we do at Parks and Read is that I encourage and I also teach children how to read. So I started doing the work in 2019. Unfortunately, in 2020, COVID happened and we couldn't go to the parks. So in 2020, I started doing the live read on Facebook, and that's how I was able to get people knowing about the work that I do through the live read. So the live read, we do it every Monday to Friday from 7 o'clock till 7:30. I read lots of children's books, and I would also try to read in other languages. Would have. So our program was like this. On Monday is storytelling. This story, trust me, if you were to listen to all the recorded live reads on Facebook, somewhere along the recordings you will find this book because I've told it before on Facebook. And then on Tuesday we will do Spelling Tuesday, and then on Wednesday we'll do Fun Fact Wednesday, on Thursday we'll do language, and on Friday we'll do light reads. And then on Saturday I would go to the parks where I read with the children, and then we'll play 30 seconds, we'll play games, and then we'll do all these things with the parks. So COVID allowed me to build that online community. Because I was doing the work that I was doing at the parks on Saturday, but I was only doing it online from 7 p.m. So, yeah, that allowed me to market myself and just have a page where I was just documenting my reading, my child's reading, and even my WhatsApp audience have been with me because I would record my child reading, me reading to her, the books that we're reading, the books I'm reading, and, yeah, just the journey through and through. So the marketing was like that. So when the book came out, I was never shy to go out and tell the world that, listen, this is what I'm doing, you know. And I did have my fair chance of challenges when it comes to printing, you know, because the company did this, and I documented all of that just to show people that when we come to you and say, this is the book, understand the process that we're going through. Even now, there has been certain changes done to the book with the second print run that I still feel like people need to know, because the end the end product is never the end product. You understand? And the end product doesn't mean that everything was smooth. there's always something that you're picking up. Oh, I could have changed that. I could have. Now, with the second run, what we noticed that because we went for second print run with a different company altogether, the pictures are popping more. When you compare the two books, you will see that this one, the color was popping. I was happy with that. But now with the second print, it's like, so it's...
It's a never-ending story.
It's a never-ending story. So it goes on and on. It's
so, you, in fact, in a sense, you had a built-in audience. You had to grow your audience and then pop your book into that community.
Yes. And funny enough, when I was growing my community...
That is such a tip to everybody, to grow your community, be resonant, be authentic, be consistent, and then just pop your product into the mix, and you've got an established audience, because a lot of authors who are traditionally published are waiting for their publishers or their, you know, their people to spread the word. But in a sense, the author themselves is responsible.
Yes. Children's authors are the laborers of love. We're doing this all for the love of publishing, because honestly, our audience are children. They don't have money. You know, so if you are able to win their mothers, their fathers, their aunts, then you know you can. I like somebody whose target audience are already the people that they're engaging with on a daily. So even me saying that I've built my community on the platform, which is your TikTok or your Facebook, your Instagram, wherever, I'm actually building my audience with parents. Not necessarily the children, whereas the target is the children.
Yeah.
So,
but they don't have the purchasing power. So
unfortunately.
Pester power.
And also another thing is that my nonprofit company targets children who are from disadvantaged homes. So my book going for 210 will not be bought in the communities that I am teaching how to learn.
So you've printed the book. It's out there, it's on your different platforms, and now you've got a podcast episode where you're reading the book. Mm. So mothers and their, or caregivers and their children can actually tune into the podcast, read the book along with the podcast, see it on your Facebook page. So how do you feel about this digital world actually almost funneling back into buying the book?
So the digital world is very exciting, right? And that's where we are all going. I have the book already on ebook. I have it in the physical form. Now I have it in the podcast. So our reach is wider now. So those who wants to read it on their Kindle, on their smartphones, they're able to do that. Those who are like us, the traditional way, who wants the physical book, they have it. And those who want to play the podcast, the reading to our children as a bedtime story when they don't want to read, but they want to put their children to bed with our readings, also works out. So we are able to touch different readers.
Not everybody is gifted. Not every parent is gifted with the ability to bring out stories, although I personally believe they've got them in them. Mm. But the fact that you are a storyteller and you've got this audience of one, and it's beautiful that she is the symbolic Palisa, but yet it's every child. I wanted to ask you about, you've created a myth of almost a superpower girl in the forest who actually in a sense is responsible. She's almost like a Mother Earth figure. Did you consciously, well, I know you just told the story in the car, but do you see the mythical aspects of what you've written, and does it link into your own culture, or is this like is it a brand new myth? Is it a brand new story?
You know what? When the story came to me, I did not think of...
The themes
and the messages. I'm picking up the messages from the readers telling me, you know what? This is such a beautiful book. I'm learning 1, 2, 3. I'm like, okay. Mm. Okay. You know, so the messages are coming.
It's a surprise to you.
It's a surprise. Lovely. This one time we went to a market, and then this grandfather was just going through the book, and he said, in the current era that we at with the GNU, this book is so relevant because it's teaching us about working together. So when we work together, things are going to... And I was like, oh, okay. And then the other one, a colleague of mine said, my child is angry with Palisa. Like, why is she upset? Now she's making the whole forest upset. She needs to, you know. And also that talks about when your mood deepens, everybody around you, their mood also, you know. So every day when somebody goes through the book, there's something that they're picking up that I'm like, actually.
But that's what's interesting. A lot of there's almost a sort of peasant wisdom that says the reader is the one who closes the circle on the story.
Exactly.
And you're in this intimate, which is why reading is so important, you're in this intimate setting with something and it's happening in your ears and your eyes. And actually, yes, it's the feedback that almost indicates for you what you've done. Especially that you came up with it spontaneously, but the themes are so richly embroidered into the story.
And also, what I always believe when it comes to reading is that the book or the message that you're supposed to get from the reading will find you where you're at, depending also on your background. So people will get different message from the book depending on their background, depending where they're at in life and how they're viewing life. So I think that's why we're always getting different messages.
Everybody takes out their own message. How would you say that you would summarize what you think now that the book is published and it's complete? What is your message?
My message is that we are one.
Simunye.
Yeah, Simunye. Okay. We are one, and I think this message comes from 1,000 books that I've read that teaches children, because I think the message that we are trying to get to children is for them to understand where food comes from, to understand that we get our fresh air, our oxygen, to understand the importance of the sun, to understand the importance of the soil, to understand the importance of water. And it's so interesting that children know this without knowing, because children know that I need to touch the soil. Children know that I need to play with the grass. I need to, you know, the sun and all of those things. It's just that it is our responsibilities as parents to put that which they know into words. So even in the morning when I wake up with my daughter and I'm driving her, and we started this when she was, I think, 3, would go outside and be like, hello, sun, hello, birds, hello, clouds. There are days where there's a sun and the moon, and be like, hello, sun, hello, moon, hello, stars, whatever we see up in the skies and whatever. Because the message for me to her was that understand that you are one with everything. If you can live on water, and you need fresh air, and you need the sun, you need food, the same thing applies to animals. The same thing applies to trees. You understand? So it's just, yeah, the message is that we are one, and we need to take care of the animals and...
And ourselves.
And ourselves. Because when we take care of not only the animals and where we live, the environment, the environment is able to take care of us.
Is that like a Ubuntu, Ngubuntu, Ngubantu thing?
No, I think the Ubuntu thing is like person to person, but this one is like person to person, animals, nature.
It's bigger.
It's beyond just being you and me. It's you, me, the animals, and you know. So the other day we were studying for natural science and technology, and then she was looking at the ecosystem, and they were asking a question about where it all started, and then just the circle. And I needed to explain. And you know what? The part that I love the most, I brought the book back to her to say the ecosystem that they're telling you about, that the decomposing, the animals that decompose, and it moves from there and it goes all the way. The very same day, I read a post on Facebook where they were telling us about the whale, what happens to the whale when it dies. It doesn't die, but it brings back to life by sinking and the oxygen that it has absorbed. And it was a whole narrative of the dying of a whale is not actually the dying of a whale, it's a rebirth of its own life that fits back to. You understand what I mean? So the whole ecosystem that all comes together, circle back together, and it takes back to us. We get back to the soil, we fertilize the soil, and then the soil is able to bring back to the trees. And some cultures even believe that once somebody dies, you need to plant a tree next to their tomb, and then they will fertilize the tree, and then the trees will give back to nature. So it's the whole ecosystem thing that we are all one. And so the message just broadens up every day.
So the hello sun, which you have in the book, which is almost the only spoken words that she speaks, this is something historically and culturally that you've been doing with your little girl?
Yes. So the hello sun, this is not the first time that it comes to the book. It has been something that has been with us long before. So back in 2017, we were living in town, and I would walk her to crèche. I want to insert the... Okay, we track back. So the hello sun has always been with me. as I said earlier, that I've always been telling his stories, right? But then in 2017, when we moved and started living in town, and we were walking down from our flat to the crèche that she was attending, we'd meet a lot of people, and there'll be a lot of greetings, and we'd just come across a lot of things. I mean, town is town. It's very hectic. So one of the things, just to keep her entertained, because it was a change of environment from having to drive to work, now walking to crèche. So I needed her to understand that we are all interconnected. We are all one.
Is there anyone you'd like to thank who helped you on your journey?
Oh.
And if you would like to tell us where to get the book, give yourself a shout out.
There are so many people I'd like to thank. Much as I'm a self-published author, the journey was never taken alone. There were a lot of people that came on board that helped me edit the book, that plugged me with the greatest illustrator, and just journeyed with me, supported me, and understood my frustration, and just assured me that you're on the right track. So for everybody who was able there, my friends and people that I was able to be in contact with through my friends, are the one that made it all possible. And people believing in me on social media, when I put it out, they was like, I'm an author. They were like, what? I'm like, yeah, I'm an author. And they were like, oh my goodness, you. And it's funny because there are other people who say to me, we saw it coming through the work that you were doing. Somehow it was supposed to end here. So it's the people that believed in me through them telling me, and people who believed in me in their own corners. And when it came to life, they were like, we knew this is where you're going. So I'm very grateful for the energies that was passed down from all angles, all areas, beautiful, all nations and everywhere.
So you've listened to the interview. You can go on over to Solid Gold Storytime and listen to Kutso actually reading the book. And if you want to purchase the book, go to Parks and Read, that's PARKSANDREAD.co.za, and Kutso herself will send you the book for a small fee. Thanks, Kutso, for coming in and sharing your insights and your energy with us and your experience. I wish you absolutely everything of the best, and for the universe to carry on feeding you as you feed it. Thank you.
You're welcome, Lynn. Thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to another production from Solid Gold Podcasts.